Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's afternoon for me anyway. In fact, it's about 10 seconds past afternoon or into the afternoon, as we like to say. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's Election Day, okay? Everybody go vote, okay? Congratulations to all of you who have already done so, and I hope I, when I say it again tomorrow, everybody I'm talking to has voted, all right? People died for your right to go do this, so do it. All right, it's really, really important. All right, it's a wonderful day. Election Day always is a celebration of democracy, if I may. So we're going to celebrate it with my good friends from Waterford Institute. We've been talking to my guests today, Kathleen Peterson and Ann Brown, and we've done shows before on the value of early childhood education. And as all of you know, I deal a lot with accessibility. I deal a lot with equity. All right. And it's key that all children have an excellent early childhood education. We know this, okay? And if all children have access to that word accessibility, all right, we'll see a brighter future for all of them, better schools, better learning, et cetera. We have our magazine. It's over. It's digital. It's over on the website, ace-ed.org. The ACE stands for Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity. We're going to archive this show over there as well as over here on the website, ace-ed.org, and here at Education Talk Radio. So I'm looking forward to having a really good conversation this Election Day. And actually, I got to bring my two Utah friends on because I used to live in Massachusetts when Mitt Romney was governor, and now he's going to be your senator. Right, Kathleen?
Well, I went out and voted this morning, so we'll see tonight if he is.
Yeah, he's predicted. Well, I don't mean to imply that you voted for him, but I meant to imply that I was reading today that he's got this big percentage lead right now. So you're going to get
a huge percentage
one of my old
lead.
Senators, one of my old governors. Okay?
Absolutely. I'm
good
hoping
enough.
He does come out the winner.
Well, I think you're going to get your wish. Okay? I think you're going to get your wish. And my old governor, your new senator, how's that work, Ann Brown?
I know. Good morning, Larry. Well, I think he'll do a good job for us. So, we're lucky he's got a connection to Utah.
Well, he did a good job in Massachusetts. Did a very good
right.
job.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah. And so, and of course, he ran for president. Okay. But, you know, he's done it. When he's been in office, he's done a very good job. That's all I have to say.
Yeah,
I wish him well. Tell him I said hello.
The big thing in Utah is he ran the Olympics for us. And
of course.
Was the first Olympics to ever be profitable. So he was amazing with the Olympics.
He did a great job. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting day, and we'll all be up late watching results that won't come in for at least a week. So we'll just do that. we all do it. So everybody's going to buy. It's a good day to buy a pizza or fried chicken and just sit there and munch all night. You know, Kathleen and Ann, welcome back. Okay, Ann Brown is the sales director over at Waterford Institute, my good friends, waterford.org. Is that your title? That's your title, isn't it, Ann?
No,
what
I'm actually vice president of education and business development. So we have someone else who runs the
sales.
So I
got that completely wrong.
Stevenson.
I got that completely wrong.
Well, close enough. Ann Brown was
close enough to wrong.
Plenty.
Yeah,
don't need
wrong.
To worry about titles.
Yeah. It was wrong. We don't, because you're wonderful to have on the show. You're with me all the time. Oh, you'd think I would know that, but I don't. And Kathleen,
okay.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's great
Kathleen,
to be back.
That's a pleasure to have you here. Title I director, preschool director, independent consultant. You have KP Consulting, Kathleen Peterson. Okay, for the Washington County School Board, that's in Utah. All right, of course, she has the famous email. Everybody ready? InkOilGrandma@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with her. InkOil, I love it. Right, InkOilGrandma, okay, @gmail.com. Secondary English forensics teacher, elementary principal, preschool director, regional service center director, district level one, title one director, National Blue Ribbon School principal, Red Books, America's Best Schools, the Governor's School of Excellence, IRA Principal of the Year, UAE, you must have a big mantle for all these awards, UAEYC Principal of the Year, and NAESP National Distinguished Principal. All right. Congratulations.
A lot of fun years there.
Yeah, wow. It's amazing. She did it all in 3 years. That's all she was saying. No, I'm just kidding. It's a lot longer than that. Okay. And how many awards do you have?
Zero. I just work all the time.
No, you have the Larry Jacobs Education Talk Radio Award for Excellence for a guest from Utah.
All right. Thank you. I like that one. That's
You're
great.
Welcome. It's a great honor. It's a great
do
honor.
Do I get one of those?
Yes, you do, Kathleen.
Wow.
Yes, you do. Okay. Hey, Kat, I want to talk about this whole thing in terms of equity and accessibility, okay, because this is the key. And I've said this so many times, I can't say it enough. Anybody who doesn't understand yet that early childhood is where the money needs to go to, it's going to make everything cheaper in the end and make it better in the end. Okay, Kathleen, you were Washington County School District, right?
Yes.
Okay. And which district is that? Where is that in terms of good old Utah?
Well, it's at the very bottom of the state. You could almost jump into Nevada from Washington County, and we are in our largest city is St. George. Washington County takes in
mm-hmm.
seven little communities plus St. George, Utah.
And as you know, I've been there, and one of those communities is Hurricane, which looks exactly
yes.
like Hurricane, but it's Hurricane. I know that. Okay, I got yelled at.
You've
by
got
Hurricane.
It right.
I know I did. I know I did. The county did a research study to examine the results between two preschool programs. What programs were they? What about the study? And why did you do that? What was going on?
Well, when I came to this position, the county school district had a preschool program for special ed students with IEPs. And they had
That's
a
all.
Few
wow.
typical children in that preschool to meet the requirements for typical peers. When I took over for Title I, we looked at where the money was being spent, and like you just said, we believe that the accessibility to an equitable education had to begin before kindergarten.
Here,
and
here.
So we started a Title I preschool. In 2016, the State Office of Education and the Utah Legislature put out a grant that allowed entities to enlarge or expand their preschool programs. It was the expansion grant. And we applied for it as a Title I preschool, and also our special ed group applied for a grant also separately because we ran these preschools independent of each other. The special ed group was funded for the expansion because the state agreed with the type of curriculum they were going to use. In the Title I preschool, we were already using the Waterford Early Learning software well, and the state asked us to give that up if we accepted the money, and we said, no, we won't give that up because our results had been great in the past. So that decision by the state set up a research project that allowed us to look at the two preschool programs independently and run them for a full year independently and look at the results at the beginning of the year, the pre-assessment and the post-assessment, and compare how the students did with the two separate programs.
Yes, and?
So at the end of the program, the Title I, well, at the beginning of the program, the Title I students scored much lower on the pre-assessment than the students in the state-funded program. And the reason for that was each program had approximately 600 preschool children, four-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Title I preschool, 590 of those children qualified for free and reduced lunch, were poverty children. Of the 600 in the state-funded program, only 120 were poverty students. 480
wow.
were self-pay students. And
wow.
so in the pre-assessment, the state-funded preschool, the children scored much higher than our poverty children, which was to be expected.
Sure.
A lot of times the poverty children don't have access to the same opportunities in early childhood that poverty children do. And so in the beginning, our children were much lower. At the end of the year for the post-assessment, the Title I children that entered much lower outscored their affluent peers significantly.
Wow. When you saw that, what did you say? Well, I mean, that's pretty amazing. What did you say?
Well, we expected it, but we went back and looked at why. We had to ask the question, what were the differences in the learning? And so we started by looking at the differences in the program, in the two programs. And the state-funded program was 3 hours a day, and our Title I program was only 2 hours a day, both programs 4 days a week. So our children were, Title I children were spending 4 hours a week in fewer hours in school than the state-funded program. The state-funded program was using certified teachers, and the Title I program was using aides or CDAs.
Really?
Yes. And so you would have expected the poverty children to score lower. But the difference came in the curriculum. The state-funded program was a play-based curriculum with no blended learning. They had no software and no use of technology at all. In the Title I program, we had a whole child approach with emphasis on physical development, cognitive development, and social-emotional development. And then in addition to that focus on those three parts of the curriculum, every child spent 15 minutes 4 days a week on the Waterford Early Learning software.
Yeah, well, that surprised me.
So those were the major differences in the program.
I'm sitting here fairly fascinated by what you're saying, because it's what Waterford does, and it's a research institute. What Waterford does, they don't put anything out there unless it's well researched. And everybody knows that. What struck me, if we go back a few minutes in this show, okay, what struck me was the fact that the legislature or whoever it was, however you want to say that, Department of Education, said, no, wait, you have to drop the Waterford stuff at the beginning because we're going to use this other thing, okay? And thank God you guys tested it. I mean, obviously, results, it's just amazing.
It is amazing, and if you look at the actual results, the 600 children in the state-funded play-based program, out of the 600 at the end of the year, even though they only had 120 poverty students out of the 600, their average end-of-year score out of 168 was 115. Now, compared to the Title I program that included the Waterford software,
right,
590 of those children were poverty children, and their average score at the end of the year, again, the state-funded program was 115, the poverty kids 152 out of 168. And out of our 590 children, 254 scored a perfect 100% score on the assessment for alphabet recognition. The play-based group, eight children out of 600 knew their alphabet.
Anne, you're Anne, Queen of Waterford. Anne? Queen Anne. Okay, when you hear this stuff, what do you think? That's who you work for, but what do you think? What goes through your mind?
Well, I think it's important. The reason we have Kathy on the show is I think it's important that people understand that it does matter. It matters what kids are doing every day, and it matters how even 15 minutes a day gets used. And there's research behind it.
Yeah.
And
wow,
this is really phenomenal research. But this is research that we've found in different ways throughout our entire existence, which is why
anything we
put out, we're putting a research stance behind it. But I think it's important. I think it's important that people understand that there's a difference, and you need to be looking for results when you're making decisions for kids.
Boy, that is, and what you just said, there's a difference. I mean, there is a difference in early childhood education, what's put out there, and you know, it's tested, etc. You know, Ann, let me stick with you for a second. We know that the results were better, okay? We know that, but I'm not saying I want to get into the specifics here. What makes what does the Waterford software do that the other software didn't? What was it? And then we're going to ask
Larry,
Kathleen
let
saying,
me interrupt
yes.
for a second.
The other group didn't have software at all. The other
right.
group had the other and the other group.
You're
had,
right. Excuse me.
Had
yeah, I knew.
Had total choice for the children. I think one of the things that's key to the work Kathy was doing is that she still allowed kids a lot of choice, but they had two things they had to do every day. And correct me if I'm wrong, Kathy. They had to spend 15 minutes with the teacher, and they had to spend 15 minutes on Waterford. The rest
That's
of their
correct.
Time was choice-based and whole child. But it's you know, we think of Waterford as like diet and exercise, Larry. We're not asking you to spend your whole day on it, but we
Great.
But you need
15
to
minutes.
You need to work you need
yeah.
to work consistently. You know, it's the little bits that make a difference every day, and it's that 15 minutes that makes the difference. And it's not just like, you know, random 15 minutes on reading. It's scaffolded, structured, research-based curriculum, working at the pace of the child that makes the difference day in and day out for this kind of success.
And measuring the pace of the child, okay, are we taking that into consideration when we look at the results from the two? All right, because some kids have special needs, other kids are a little bit behind, whatever the case may be. Okay, when you look at the research, does it even it all out in the research so you can really see the results one-to-one?
Is that question for me? This is
It can
Kathy.
Be for either of you. I mean, it doesn't
okay.
matter. I'll ask Kathy.
I would like to address that. In the study that we did, we only tested the typical children. The children with IEPs did not complete the assessment. We were assessing the affluent children, all the self-pay children in the state program, and our poverty children. We tested all 600 of the poverty children in the Title I program. And the children coming in with poverty issues tested lower in the beginning and
yeah.
higher in the end. And so I do believe the equity played into that in terms of they were certainly capable of learning, they just needed the access.
Exactly. And the right
the
tools, I might add. The
right.
access and the access to the right things. Okay.
The thing that I believe made the biggest difference is that in the Title I program, like Ann said, the children still had a lot of choice. They still worked on social-emotional development. They still worked on executive function skills. They had math skills. But the consistency of the Waterford software provided equity for every child because that software adjusts to the learning speed of the child. It does interim assessments on the software that shows the software where the child is. And if they're missing a piece that's already been taught, the software goes back and teaches it in another way, a different way.
Mm.
And so the software actually is a guarantee of a high-quality instruction for every child, regardless of what teacher they end up with in the classroom.
I was thinking it's like software is personalized learning. Everybody's after personalized learning. Okay, and here you have the software doing exactly that.
Is.
If the child doesn't learn one way, it teaches them another. It picks up on that. And I have to pick up on a theme here that both of you mentioned, okay, and that is the word consistency. Okay, there's a consistency to the Waterford approach that makes sense all through this learning process. And I think therein lies a big difference. okay, that it's consistent, it takes its time, it's patient, it moves with the child, doesn't force them along, etc. It's just a consistent pace and a consistent learning pace that makes sense. If I may do your next ad for you, Ann, that's what I heard.
No, consistency is key.
And the software also provides a child with immediate and positive feedback. And there's no embarrassment. There's no comparison to the kid sitting next to you. That you're always doing well on the software.
You know, it's amazing that you would say that. They were talking about really young kids. And you would think, you know, in competition, of course, is there. But it's so it's nuts that it would be built into kids so young, that there would be an embarrassment if you weren't keeping up. But, of course, that's there, and this protects the kids from that. I like that.
It does.
It just, it's amazing that it's in children so young. But I guess it was in all of us. It's just amazing. So when all was said and done, Kathy, okay, what happened? Okay, how did the district work out everything? They get the results. What happens next?
Okay, at the end of the year, we looked at the results for both programs, and the data was so overwhelming in favor of the blended learning program that our school board and our superintendent came back to the preschool directors of the two programs and said, we want all children to have access to this. And we said to the school board, well, if we use the model that was used in the Title I preschool, the state's going to withhold the money for the TANF funding. And the school board said to us, we want our children to have the best program possible. And so we're going to say, regardless of whether we lose the funding or not, we're going to put all of the children, including all of the children with IEPs, in the blended Title I model. So last year, for 2017-18, we combined both of the programs, and all 1,200 children got the same program that the Title I children had gotten the year before, which was the blended model with a classroom aide and the children in class for 2.5 hours, and all children, regardless of their IEP or not, had 15 minutes on the Waterford software. The results across the board were 166% gains, including assessing all of the special ed children last year. And so the model works regardless of whether you're working with affluent children, poverty children, or the special ed children.
Period. It just works. And it works, like you said, it works with all kids. I got to say something, your school board, really, they deserve they deserve my kudos and everybody else's kudos. And they certainly deserve the kudos of the people in the community. Okay?
Because the nice thing is, the state saw the results, they kept funding the program, even though we kept the software.
Happy ending. I like that.
There's a happy ending,
It is a happy ending. It's a good ending. And I have to tell you, I hate to overuse the phrase, it's a win-win. Everybody wins.
It is. And you have to give credit to the state, right? Their initial plan was to be able to do research and make sure that what they were doing was the best thing for students. So
yes, they got their research.
That's how we all improve.
Yeah, it is. It is. All they had to do was call me and I could have told them all this.
We'll do that next time, Larry.
Next time. It's a lot easier, a lot cheaper. Okay, I have to tell you, one other thing before we go here, and this is important, we're talking about academic learning and improvement and achievement, but I did want to talk to you about and this is key these days, and especially key in younger kids, is the social-emotional side of it. Okay, and can you talk about that for a minute? Then we'll go into Kathy, but just give us the word on the social-emotional side of what you guys do for school districts at Waterford.
You know, Larry, we have another study that just came out, a month or two ago from the state, assessing the social emotional development as well as the academic development of our upstart children, so our children who
mm-hmm.
are using our at-home school readiness.
And right, the upstart program.
The findings, and that might be another show, but the findings were phenomenal. And basically they compared upstart children to children who had public pre-K and children who had private pre-K, and they assessed social-emotional development as well as academic development or academic readiness. And the upstart children came out on top of that. And I think it has a lot of things to do with what Kathy's discussing, besides the fact that we were really supporting the parents and the families in that to become supporters of their children. But, you know, social-emotional development really happens when kids find success. And if you're successful, that breeds success. So there's always this, people think there's this disconnect between technology and social emotional development. And again, I agree with you, there's not, you can have too much technology, but at small doses with the right tools behind you and helping children achieve that feeling of success as well as true success, helps build their confidence and helps them persevere to the next thing and have grit to keep trying. So we're seeing great results with social emotional development as well.
I think it's wonderful. Kathy, that was Ann, wasn't it? That was Ann, right?
That was Ann, yep.
Yeah, Kathy. Social emotional.
The software addresses social emotional through the literature and activities that are introduced. Each of the pieces of literature teaches the children different social-emotional skills. And once they read and sing the songs addressing those skills, then the teachers can reinforce those as specific incidents come up in the classroom. The parents can also use those stories to jump into lessons at home, whether they're interacting with their siblings, whether they're interacting with adults, whether they're interacting with peers. And so those issues are addressed by the software. And then I love the point that Anne made. When children use software, they learn persistence and problem solving and grit, because we all deal with technology issues. And when we began the program,
yeah,
we were told that four-year-olds couldn't handle the software or the hardware, and
no,
I can tell you that a four-year-old can run a trackpad better than I can.
The whole time you were just saying that, I had a smile on my face because I'm the world's worst. Okay, you may think you're the world's worst. I'm the world's worst, and it's amazing to see the kids work these things. It's just astounding.
Absolutely,
we call them digital natives, and I don't know how that happened. Okay, but somehow genetically they fit right in. Okay, I don't know how maybe it blows Charles Darwin's theory off the roof that it takes millions of years to evolve. Our kids evolve pretty quickly with all this stuff. This is a wonderful show, and these results it's just always so impressive. And the bottom line is, yeah, we could talk about Waterford, we could talk about Washington County and all that. The kids are doing better. The kids are learning. The teachers are happier, okay? And everybody's getting more well-rounded in learning, and it's better. That's all. And it's important. It's so important. You know when you're going to really see the results? 5-6 years from now, when these kids are in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade and have so much more confidence than they would have otherwise. It's going to be that simple.
Well, when they graduate from high school and become productive citizens, because they started out on a level playing field with their peers.
That's exactly right. It boils down. It's always about equity. That's and accessibility.
And you know, Larry, kudos to the state of Utah, because the state really puts a focus on early childhood learning. And if you look
at
the last set of NAEP results that feel pretty dismal to the country, Utah is 10th. In reading scores for fourth grade, we're 51st in funding for our children. So we're doing a lot with a little. And we're also one of the
how
few states that can recognize.
Wait a minute. How could you be 51st? There's 50.
We're behind D.C., so D.C. goes in there too. I mean, we're behind all of them, but D.C.
Okay,
goes
wow.
in at 51.
D.C. goes in separate than the state.
Wow, okay. Jeez.
Yeah.
That makes sense,
so,
of course. But, yeah, well.
But, you know, but the state is doing
you can
a
do,
good
if you
job.
You put your mind
kids.
To it, you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I always have these shows with you. I know they're doing well. I know Utah cares about it, and somehow they're making it happen. They can always add more.
Yeah,
okay?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm pretty impressed, I got to tell you.
Well, and that's part of the research, is that we're trying to do better by researching and picking the best programs.
And you do. And you do. I love it. Kathy Peterson, thank you so much. And Anne Brown of Queen Anne of Waterford. Thank you. Waterford.org.
Yeah, let's skip that moniker
the young,
next time.
The young Queen Anne. The young Queen Anne.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Thank you,
all
Larry.
Right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that's Anne, my friends, Anne Brown. Got her title mixed up there at the beginning of the show. From Waterford, Waterford.org. Please check it out. It's great stuff. Okay, and Kathy Peterson, who is over at Washington County Schools. Keep that one pretty simple. Okay, they're great. I love having them on. We're going to archive education-talkradio.org. Think about early childhood education. Think about equity. Think about accessibility. And for God's sakes, today's November 6th. Vote. I'll leave it there. Thanks for listening. I'm going to go vote now. Have a great day.